Blog Talk Radio.
Uh-oh. You know what time it is, Rod?
Play the music, man. It's time to talk some NFL draft.
Whoa. It's quite exciting. You got it, just the radio. What time is it, Rod?
Time is now.
Your time is up. My time is now. You can't see me. My time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me. My time is now.
I love it. I love it. Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the Pope, man. I never get sick of that. I never do. Do you, Rob?
Oh, man, it gets me pumped up, man.
It gets you pumped up, man. Once again, folks, welcome, of course, to another exciting edition of Talking Sports with the Pope. Today is Wednesday, April the 25th, and I promise you, Robert, I'm not throwing any elbows unintentionally to you, okay? It's going to be a good night.
Oh, yeah, let's bring it in.
Let's bring it in. As always, Robert.
No better world peace, huh? We're going to have some real peace tonight.
We're going to have some real peace tonight. But as always, joined by your host, I'm Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford. And as always, I set the table about what we're going to talk about tonight. You know what it is. It's the day before Big Day in the NFL, NFL draft, and we're going to talk about that, some previews. We're going to focus on some position groups, which are strong and which are weak. And we're going to get to Robert Ford's final mock draft, if you will. Also, we're going to talk a little bit, yes, about Meta World Peace, and this might be towards the end of the hour, kind of towards the OT, if you will. And we're going to talk about Saints players, should they be suspended? And maybe we'll talk a little bit about the Madden cover athletes being revealed and all that fun stuff. But, man, let's get started, Rob. Very excited. You know what tomorrow is, NFL draft. Let's set the table, sir.
Well, I tell you what, this is an exciting time of the year for NFL fans. You know, every franchise right now believes they're going to win the Super Bowl next season, so that's what makes it fun. You know, everybody feels like they have a chance, and it all starts right here. Free agency, the bulk of it is behind us. So this is the next phase in the offseason, acquiring some young talent here in the NFL draft. And, you know, there'll be a little minor wave of free agency before training camp. But, you know, this is the next big thing before we move on to training camp. So a lot of fans are excited about this process.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal, as you mentioned. And, you know, obviously this is what everyone talks about. Those who want to call in the show real quick, let me give you the number. It's 424-243-9519. And don't forget to tweet us at 12th Man. That's the number 12THMAN Sports, obviously, at Twitter. So we got a lot of things to jump in. Rob,
like us on Facebook as well, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Like us on Facebook. We post lots of updates on what's happening in the sports world. So definitely follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. And I promise you won't be disappointed. And one quick thing I'd like to say to the listeners is, you know, please call in if you got any questions about any college players or where you think they may fall in the draft, or if you want to call in and ask some questions about your particular NFL teams and who you might, if you want to ask us who we think they may take in the draft.
Yeah, there, as always, thank you very much, Rob. Let's talk about it real quick. Before we get into some talk, I'm going to let you talk briefly about should the Saints players be suspended. I'm going to talk about a quick addition of being a Falcon fan. Very excited about Asante Samuel joining the Falcons for a seventh-round pick. That's awesome. But can you talk real quick about the Saints and if you think those players should be suspended? Because we're going to spend a majority of the time talking about the NFL draft, if you will. So go ahead and make a quick point about that, if you don't mind.
Well, this is a little bit of a touchy subject. I mean, anybody that's been listening to this show for close to a year now know that I'm a huge Saints fan. And I guess the problem that I'm having with this particular process is I haven't seen anybody throw a vicious elbow like Ron Artest just did that's deserving of a suspension. Or I haven't seen anybody intentionally, you know, hurt anybody on the field to deserve a suspension, similar to what we saw with Ndamukong and Sue stumping on a player and deserve a two-game suspension. So I think that's where I guess I'm having a problem with, and I think where most Saints fans are having the problem with. We haven't seen those kind of actions. I mean, maybe the only play that was kind of somewhat dirty was the late hit by Roman Harper on Steve Smith. And, of course, Roman Harper was fined for that particular play. You know, that, but that, outside of that, you know, we haven't seen anything that's warranting of a suspension. Now, obviously, I don't know if Roger Goodell is going to release some evidence or anything like that, but as far as we're concerned, unless you can show me some evidence and proof that we intentionally tried to hurt some players, I don't agree where there should be a suspension.
Wow. Good point, good point. I mean, like I said, it's very interesting to see how everything plays out, obviously. And, you know, if you're a Saints fan, obviously you got to say this is very, very disappointing. But, you know, like
yeah.
I said.
And I don't know how closely you've been following this, but this could be a long, drawn-out process. Goodell, the reason why he hasn't issued any suspension yet to the players is because he's trying to get the NFLPA to agree with them on the process. But if, I don't know, like I said, I don't know how closely you're following this matter, but the NFLPA is telling Roger Goodell, show us proof that a bounty program has existed. And as of right now, the NFLPA is saying the NFL has not showed us any proof that a bounty program existed. So we can't go along with the suspensions. And so what it sounds like Roger Goodell is going to go ahead and go on with the suspensions without the NFLPA, and what's going to happen is Saints players are going to appeal. Saints players are going to lose the appeal, like Sean Payton and the coaches did. But there's the difference with the players. The players can turn around and sue the NFL, unlike the coaches. And so what's going to happen is the NFLPA, unless they see evidence of a bounty program existing, they're going to turn around and sue the NFL, which means the players will be free to play until this is, you know, figured out in a, you know, legal process. Similar to the StarCap situation a few years ago. So this and this is the reason why this process is taking so long with the players. Goodell wants to avoid litigation. He wants to suspend the players, but he wants the NFLPA to go along with them. And as of right now, they're not going along with them.
Very interesting. Well, like I said, we'll definitely keep abreast of that. And obviously, I want to throw that to you since you're the biggest resident Saints fan, and obviously co-host of the show too. So we got to show some love for that too. But without further ado, sir, let's go ahead and let's jump into the draft talk, which is happening tomorrow. And I have to say, as you know, the NFL draft is not an exact science, because if it was, we wouldn't have all these busts. We wouldn't have undrafted players like Victor Cruz kind of making an impact, Arian Foster. It's kind of interesting how it plays out, too. So, you know, but yet and still, we're captivated by what's going on. So, you know, with that being said, you know, obviously there's a lot of underclassmen in this draft, about 65 underclassmen that are currently present in this draft, which means that there's going to be a lot of good players that are going to be picked up by some teams. And, you know, each year technology gets better and vice versa, but you know, and even next week we'll talk about some players that we, you know, we're going to do some grades and make an impact. But real quick, you know, kind of, Robert, tell us what you think as far as, you know, what which positions are kind of strong in this draft and which positions are kind of weak in this particular draft.
Well, I tell you, I like the edge rushers in this draft. When you got these edge players, defensive end / 3-4 outside linebackers. Mm-hmm. I think that position group is probably the strongest in this draft. I mean, the combination of these rush defensive ends and rush outside linebackers, you can see as many as 8 of those guys in the first round. And, you know, and like I said, these could be defensive ends in the 4-3 system. They could be outside linebackers in a 3-4 system. And I think that is the strongest position group in this particular draft. I mean, there's just if you're looking for a pass rusher, you could probably get one in this first round. And even into some of the later rounds, there are some valuable guys in the second, third round as well that could help you in a, you know, situational pass rush situations in this draft. I think the weakest position in this draft is the safety position. And I think that's, I mean, you're probably only going to have one safety in the first round, and that's Mark Barron from Alabama. But I think if, you know, if you're a team that's looking to draft the safety, there's probably only 3 or 4 of them that's going to be drafted in the first 3 or 4 rounds. Probably be a lot of those guys drafted late. You know, teams will take chances on, you know, maybe to come in and help them in special teams. But as far as if you're looking for a starting safety, this is going to be a hard draft to get one.
Yeah. What do you think about tight end? I think tight end, you know, obviously, Clyde Smith, coach of the Atlanta Falcons, made a comment that this particular draft, we don't have a lot of nothing is more like flex tight ends or the F tight ends as opposed to the Y tight ends, who are kind of known as blockers. So I don't think this is a deep draft, particularly for tight end. Kind of a future class as far as that as well.
Yes, I agree with that too. And as of right now, I don't have that one tight end going in the first round. Kobe Flinner is a borderline late first round, early second round pick, tight end out of Stanford. Very good pass catcher slash solid blocker. And he will probably be the first tight end taken. But right now I have him going in early second. But he's one of those tight ends could possibly sneak into the latter part of the first round. I have him going early in the second round of Minnesota at 35 overall. Give Christian Ponder another weapon in that offense. But that's kind of where I have him slated. But like I said, I think he will probably go somewhere between 29 and maybe 40, which will put him in a latter first to early second round pick. So he will probably be the first tight end taken in the draft. But there are some sleeper tight ends you can take a chance on in this draft. Ladarius Green, tight end out of Louisiana Lafayette. I think he's a guy that could possibly be a surprise somewhere around that fourth round. D'Angelo Peterson, tight end out of LSU. He's more of a tweener, but he's got great size, good hands. He's a tight end you could probably get in the sixth, seventh round. And I even have your Atlanta Falcons taking Dwayne Allen, tight end out of Clemson. And I think you mentioned that you think the Falcons are probably going to go tackle, and I can definitely see that as well. I can see the Falcons going to need offensive tackle, offensive guard, a tight end with that second-round pick. But right now in my last mock draft, I have your Falcons also grabbing a tight end. Dwayne Allen, as you know, is Tony Gonzalez. Looked like this might be his last year coming up.
Yeah, like I said, it's something I'm sure that they pretty much anticipate some things with Tony Gonzalez. But, you know, like I said, it's, you know, obviously with the big move with us acquiring Asante Samuel today for a seventh-round pick, which it's an amazing that we got it for a seventh-round pick. I think that's highway robbery for a guy that's going to make an impact. And I think it definitely changes the dynamic as far as who we're targeting, because I'm sure there are some corners that we're looking at, but now that changes up the process. And like I said, maybe tackle, obviously for my Falcon fans, hopefully. I don't know, Rob, but Dwayne Allen is that good for us to make it pick that high, but we'll see how that plays out as far as some good moves. But tell me a little bit, what do you think about, as far as wide receiver and also running back? There's not a lot of running backs in this draft. Obviously, you got the top two or the top one. Obviously, Trent Richardson's going to go in the first round. Maybe a David Wilson or a Doug Martin. I think you've heard of those names too. I don't think it's as deep as it was before, and I think that kind of position is kind of changing as the NFL converts to more of a passing league.
Yes, and I think one of the things I like to comment about the running back position, right now, the way the NFL is set up, I mean, you almost have to be a complete stud to be a running back drafted in the first round. I think a lot of teams are finding out that you can get running backs latter first round and then later rounds still have some success with them. And Trent Richardson is about the only guy that's a clear-cut stud at running back in this draft. As he's going to be a top-five pick in this draft. I have Doug Martin sneaking into the first round. Doug Martin, running back, Boise State. I have him right now going 29 to Baltimore. But those are only two running backs I have going in the first round. And Doug Martin can easily fall into the second round. I think Baltimore is looking for another running back. You know, Ricky Williams announced his retirement. He was the number two back last season. And in this day and age in the NFL, you need two to three strong running backs on your roster to be successful. And so they're going to need an additional back. I know Ray Rice is still holding out for a new contract, but eventually they'll get that settled. So they're going to need another back to go along with Ray Rice. Like I said, you're going to see a lot of running backs going at fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round, but it's just not a lot of studs in this draft outside of Trent Richardson. And you mentioned running back David Wilson, running back from Virginia Tech. I have him currently going in the second round of Buffalo at 41 overall. That's in the first two rounds. I have a total of four running backs going in the first two rounds. I have Lamar Miller, running back from Miami, going 56 to Pittsburgh, as they're going to also need another back to go with Rashard Mendenhall, who's also coming off an injury as well.
Good pick. So we've got about 50 minutes here in the show. I'm going to repeat the number for those that want to call in. Definitely give us your thoughts and your feedback, all the listeners out there. if you have any questions for me or Rob as far as who do you think your team, or if you have any questions about any players, give us a call. Number calling is 424-243-9519. Also, you can tweet us at 12 Man Sports and also like us on Facebook as well. Rob, real quick, and we're going to jump into your mock draft as well. But a position that can be deep, it's kind of interesting, is quarterback and also with defensive tackle, if you will. So kind of, you know, give me your thoughts as far as that. I mean, you know, obviously we've got the top two guys, well, actually top three going into the top ten, Tannehill, obviously Luck, and Griffith the third. But, you know, there's a lot of quarterbacks out there that could be find their way on some NFL rosters.
Hey, the quarterback position you're referring to?
Yes, sir, the quarterback position.
Yes, okay. I was getting confused. I thought maybe you said corner, but I wanted to make sure I was hearing the right thing.
Yeah, you got it.
Yes, but it should be interesting. I mean, obviously, Luck and Griffin, everybody knows. I mean, it's no secret that those guys are going to go 1 and 2 in this draft. The interesting thing is what's going to happen with Ryan Tannehill. I think all indications are Cleveland is not going to reach for him at number 4. So I think it's a safe bet that he's going to go to number 8 to Miami, where Mike Sherman has a relationship with him already. He was his head coach in college. And I think some kind of way Cleveland is going to come out of this draft with Brandon Wheaton. The question is where. And right now I have Cleveland taking Brandon Wheaton in the second round at 37. But I will not be surprised if Cleveland takes him at 22. I will not be surprised if Cleveland draft takes him at 22. Or I will not be surprised if Cleveland trades into the back end of the first round and take him somewhere there. There's already reports out that New England is going to trade out of the 31 position. New England has 2 first-round picks. They have 27. It looks like they're going to draft that 27, but they're going to trade out of 31 to a team that's looking to draft Brandon Wheat. So that could be Cleveland. That could be Buffalo. We don't know which team that may be. But I still think some kind of way Cleveland is going to come out of this draft with Brandon Wheaton. I don't know if they're going to do it at 22. I don't know if they're going to trade back into the first round to get him at 31 with New England, or if they can stand pat and possibly grab him at 37.
Amazing, amazing. The rich get richer, don't they, it seems like, for some reason. So, let's talk about let's go ahead and jump into the mock draft. Obviously, this is an NFL show, you know, that's what we're going to talk about. And most likely the OT, for all the listeners out there, will probably focus on the NBA playoffs and kind of some information about Meta World Peace. So join us and listen as far as that. But let's talk about the mock draft, if you will, sir. Obviously, we're going to try to post this on Facebook at some point. But this is Rob Ford, your final mock draft. What is this, mock draft 5.0? I'm not sure how many you put together.
5.0, yes.
Let's talk.
If Mel Kiper can have 5 mock drafts, I can have 5, too. Tom McShay is actually at 6.
Oh, I love it. So this is it. So let's talk about this. Obviously, we've got 12 minutes. We're going to dive into this. And, 1 and 2, that's already been discussed. And this is the time, if you're listening out there, the GMs, everyone's saying, everyone's just as lying to their teeth, and everyone's got a poker face as far as what's going on. Ignore everything until they actually make the draft. So, obviously, you got Indy taking Andrew Luck, Washington taking Robert Griffin III. Minnesota, you've got them taking Matt Khalil. You know, obviously, Tosha talked about this. I mean, this is what I think, too. They're going to get more of a strong running game. We talked about this earlier. They're going to get more of Adrian Peterson kind of getting back to that, having a solid line and protecting Christian Ponder. Anything you want to talk about with
this
that?
This is where the draft is going to start getting interesting, that in Minnesota, because I think they could go Khalil at 3 or Morris Claiborne from LSU. So I'm going to stay Khalil for now, but don't be surprised if they go Claiborne from LSU.
Gotcha. Number 4, Cleveland taking Trent Richardson. Now, this is interesting because I've seen some drafts where they were also having them take Justin Blackmon. So, but I think they need a running back. I think Trent Richardson is also the pick here.
Yes, and there's also reports that the Jets are looking to trade up and somehow get Richardson. So not sure if they got enough ammunition to pull that trade off. But if everything stays the same, I think Cleveland is going to come out of this draft with Trent Richardson. He's the best all-around offensive player in the draft.
I agree. And
outside
also,
of the quarterback position.
I agree. And I like the pick here. So if you're Tampa Bay, I think you're breathing a sigh of relief if Trent Richardson goes, because you don't have any problems with LeGarrette Blount. You make a move and you get Morris Claiborne, the talented cornerback from LSU.
Yes, Tampa Bay is actually praying that Minnesota takes Matt Khalil at three. Because Tampa Bay wants to have the option whether to take Richardson or Claiborne. And Tampa Bay is hoping. It's not that Tampa Bay doesn't like Khalil. They just don't feel like they have a need for Khalil, whereas they can have a need for Richardson or Claiborne. And they probably have the same grade in their draft room. So they're hoping that one of those two guys fall. And they're definitely hoping to get Morris Claiborne or Trent Richardson with that number five position. So they are hoping that Khalil goes to Minnesota, because if Claiborne goes to Minnesota, that would throw a monkey wrench in Tampa Bay's plans. And you can even see Tampa Bay reaching for Luke Cutchley, linebacker from Boston College, if Claiborne and Richardson goes before them.
Gotcha. Now, I like what you have right here with the sixth pick. And if you're St. Louis, you're pretty much you're like clapping and high-fiving, because this is what you wanted. You want Justin Blackmon, wide receiver from Oklahoma State, to fall right in your lap, providing a target for Sam Bradford.
Yes, I mean, I think this is a must. I mean, that team needs some offensive weapons. Outside of Steven Jackson, there is none. I know there are some reports that Jeff Fisher, you know, he comes from the mentality that you win in the interior. So don't be surprised if he pulls a fast one here and drafts a defensive tackle like Fletcher Cox or Dontario Poe here. And I just personally believe they should go with Justin Blackmon. They have to get Sam Bradford some help on the exterior.
Great. Now, you've got at number seven, Jacksonville taking Melvin Ingram, the defensive end for South Carolina. This is where I think it also gets interesting, too, because you hear reports that Jacksonville is trying to trade out of this pick, trying to trade down. So maybe they're not
yes.
sold on the guy here, but, you know, this is interesting. I don't think he's going to have the same impact, as you said, as Alden Smith with the 49ers last year, but I think he'll definitely help them out.
Yes, and the team that's looking to move into that spot is Philadelphia. Philadelphia would love to get ahead of Carolina to draft either Dontari Poe or Fletcher Cox. Because we all know Carolina is looking probably to take a defensive tackle at nine. So if Philly is trying to get ahead of them to draft the defensive tackle of their choice, you know, some people believe Cox is the better tackle. Some people believe Dontari Poe is a defensive tackle. If you can poll all 32 personnel directors in the NFL right now, you'll probably have 16 go with Cox and 16 to go with Poe. So we don't know which one Philly loves more, but that's the team that's possibly looking to move up into Jacksonville slots. And Philly also has two second-round picks, so they have a little bit of ammo to move up and possibly get into that slot.
And I think that if you're a Jacksonville too, maybe you may have a need for a wide receiver too, because I don't think they have any talent there. So I know maybe too early for a Michael Floyd, but I'm kind of curious to see. That's why they're trying to trade down, maybe get another pick or maybe add another weapon for
possibly take Floyd at 15 if they swap with Philly. But I'll say this: if St. Louis passed on Blackmon, Jacksonville would take him at number seven.
Wow! So we'll see how that plays out. Next, you have. This is the big pick, Miami taking Ryan Tannehill, quarterback from Texas A&M. Obviously, Mike Sherman, you know, offensive coordinator, he was coaching Tannehill. You know, this is a reach. Is this a good move for Miami?
Well, it is a little bit of a reach, but if you are going to reach, you want to reach for the quarterback position. I mean, Miami desperately needs a quarterback, franchise quarterback to lead them into the future. You know, you sign David Girard. Hopefully he can be a little bit of a bridge early part of the season before they turn over the reins to Tannehill. Ideally, I think Tannehill is somewhere between the 20 to 30 overall best player in this draft. But Miami, Mike Sherman knows him. You know, he's only played the quarterback position for a few years. He was a former wide receiver. So he's a guy that has a lot of potential to get even better. And so Miami feels the need to go ahead and get him. And I think it's the right move by them. I mean, you have the offensive coordinator that's familiar with them, that has coached him in college the last few years.
Gotcha. Good stuff. Now, I like we make it a little quicker here, because you're down to about 6 minutes or so for talking here. But let's focus real quick. Next, you got Carolina taking Dontari Poe. Anything you want to say real quick about him? Obviously, just they need some more defensive talent, because they had a lot of injuries last year, so I think this is a good move for them. I don't know if you want to talk real quick about Dontari Poe.
Yeah, well, like I said, Poe is, depending on who you ask in the NFL, some believe Poe is the better prospect, some believe Cox is the better prospect. I took a gut that Carolina is going to go with Poe. I think Poe has a little bit more freakish athletic ability, probably can use a little bit more coaching, a little bit more upside. And so I just feel like that will probably be the player that they should go with. But don't be surprised if it's Cox as well.
That's interesting, too, because you picked him over your guy, Michael Brockers from LSU, and we'll talk about that a little later, too, because I thought he was a stud guy coming out, too. So we'll see how you have him rated.
But watch Luke Cutchley, too. Luke Cutchley could also go to Carolina as well. So they could even Carolina's had a lot of linebacker injuries the last few years, so they can also go that route as well.
I like what you had. You got Buffalo taking Riley Reiff, the offensive tackle from Iowa. You know, obviously Buffalo's had a lot of injuries to the offensive line, made some trades. They picked up one of the biggest defensive ends in the free agency with Mario Williams. It looks like they're going to get some help on the offensive side.
Yes, Buffalo has had a horrible offensive line going back the last 3 years, so they desperately need to address the offensive line situation. There's a little bit of concern with Riley Reiff. He has short arms, and typically you like your left tackle to have long arms so they can extend out, you know, at pass protection. So there's a little bit of concern. If Buffalo does not take Riley Reiff here, you can see him possibly fall by about 10 picks here. But, you know, technician-wise, he's very sound. He's well-coached. Kirk Ferentz is probably one of the better offensive line coaches in college football. You know, I think he and Les Miles are probably two of the better offensive line coaches in college football. And so he's well-schooled, you know, coming into our only concern is, like I said, his short arms.
Every time someone says short arms, Robert, I think about having a Tyrannosaurus Rex, man. It just that's a problem with the offensive line. They got little ones and the Sam Baker effect if you're a Falcon, and I apologize. Real quick, you got number 11, you got Kansas City taking Luke Cutchley. I'm back from Boston College. I think this is a great pick. He kind of reminds me of those Patriot players, very versatile, able to play the passing game. They're also in that division, too. So
very cerebral player, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's a good fit as far as that. And I like it, too. I think you have Buffalo. If they pick him at 10, they just keep building up on defense and ignoring the offense. But I think that's a good move for them as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You got Seattle number 12 taking Quentin Copels, the enigmatic defensive end out of North Carolina. This is kind of an interesting thing. You think he's more of a – he's definitely defensive end, not linebacker here? What do you think here?
Oh, Copels is definitely a defensive lineman. He's not a linebacker. Copels actually can even play a little defensive tackle. So he could also be a perfect pick for a team in the 3-4. You know, he could be a 5-technique guy in the 3-4 defense. But he's definitely a defensive lineman, not an outside linebacker.
Gotcha. With 2-minute warning here, Rob, I just want to give you a warning about that. Arizona 13, Michael Floyd, wide receiver. This is a nice pick. Interesting to see that play. And obviously, we're going to talk about the next pick for Dallas. They're excited about this. But a good compliment to Larry Fitzgerald. I think this is kind of high, but you have him going at 13.
Yes, Michael Floyd is a guy that could go as high as number 7 or to somewhere around 13. You know, he's a guy that we just have to wait and see. Jacksonville could take a shot at him. Just like I said earlier, I think if Blackman is available, Jacksonville definitely takes Blackman. But Michael Floyd is an extremely great route runner, great hands, has great ability to run after the catch. And I still have him a notch below Blackman, but you can ask a few scouts, and they may even have Floyd graded slightly above Blackman. I think Arizona either going wide receiver here or they're going offensive tackle. If Riley Reiff fall, Arizona will give Reiff, you know, strong consideration. And they'll also give David DeCastro, guard out of Stanford, a look. They'll also give Jonathan Martin, offensive tackle from Stanford, a look here as well. But I definitely think Arizona is going to go offensive line or a wide receiver. They need another weapon to pair with Larry Fitzgerald ever since Anquan Boldin has left Arizona. But really quickly, I know we're at the end of the show here. We want to prep you all for next week's show. We're definitely going to do a recap of the draft and update where we are in the NBA playoffs come next Wednesday. So definitely tune in same time, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, and for our friends in Hawaii, 5 p.m.
Woohoo! Love it. Like I said, don't forget to check us out on Facebook. And also, at 12th Man Sports on Twitter. For those who want to listen to OT, we're going to jump into, we're going to continue to talk about the NBA NFL draft, and we'll also talk about some NBA as well. So listen in, and thank you guys for listening. See you guys next week.
Good night, people.
So keeping on as far as with the draft here, I like what you got going on. So obviously, you know, with Arizona taking Michael Floyd, Dallas is ecstatic because they're definitely looking at Mark Barron, strong safety from Alabama. I mean, Jerry Jones is literally jumping up and down. Well, tell me a little bit about Mark Barron, how you think he fits into Dallas and the next moves for them.
Well, kind of just like I mentioned about Kirk for Friends being one of the better offensive line coaches in college football, Nick Saban is one of the best defensive back coaches in college football. So we know Mark Barron is very schooled, very well coached. He can definitely come in and start day one for the Dallas Cowboys if he goes here. If Dallas doesn't get him, I can definitely see him going to the Jets at 16. The Jets, even though they signed LeVon Landry, they can still use a little help at safety. I think he's definitely going to go somewhere around 14 or 16 to either Dallas or the Jets. But it's a great pick. He's the best safety in the draft, and he's probably, like I said, the only safety that's going to go in the first round.
Gotcha. And that just because we talked about it wasn't a very strong position for the safety position. Billy, now, with what's going on with Asante Samuels, does this change their pick, you think? Are they looking more towards cornerback, or do you still think they're going to stay with what they were initially targeting? Tell us a little about what you think about them. I know you got them taking Fletcher Cox. They didn't tackle a lot of Mississippi State.
They definitely are not going to take a corner in the first round. They may address that in later rounds. But Philly is definitely looking at a defensive tackle. They are definitely targeting Fletcher Cox or Dontari Poe, one of these picks. I would be extremely shocked if they take a corner in the first round. Now, I do have them taking Janoris Jenkins, who a cornerback out of North Alabama. You know his story, you know, where he got kicked off the team in Florida. Extremely gifted athlete, maybe just have a little bit of off-field issue. But I have him going in the second round to Philly at 51 overall. So that's where I think Philly may address the corner position. But Janoris Jenkins has just as much gifted twos of any corner in this draft.
Gotcha. We like it, too. Like I said, unfortunately, you got to take a shot if you're taking a flyer on him. He may have some off-the-field issues. He's got the four kids with the three different women, so it's kind of challenging. But, you know, and he's one of those guys, you got to talk to him because he's last week there were some rumors about him spouting off and kind of saying some things that you don't want to hear if you're Jenkins. I know you try to, like, clear it up, but,
yes.
You know, keep your mouth shut, rookie, and just move forward. Interesting, you've got for number 16, you got the Jets taking Courtney Upshaw. I've heard a little bit about Courtney, kind of some ups and downs about him that, you know, Clutchley, which is very surprising that Clutchley is a higher pick than him. You know, some people have said that Courtney may not be a fit in space, if you will, maybe less of the coverage guy. But, you know, like you said, maybe he's more of an interior guy as far as 3-4 defense. Talk a little about the Courtney and this guy from Alabama, obviously.
Yeah, Courtney is definitely an outside linebacker in the 3-4 defense. You're talking about a guy who's been a great pass rusher at Alabama over the last few years, plays the run extremely well. Yeah, that could be his weakness. If you want him to drop back in coverage, it's probably not his strength. But I think Rex Ryan here, if they take him at 16, will put him in positions to succeed. And we're talking about another guy who's been well-schooled in college. I mean, Nick Saban has done a tremendous job coaching him. And this is a guy that's ready to play in the NFL from day one.
Love it all the way. So let's talk about this as we keep moving along. I like this. So we've got, it looks like our first offensive guard taken at number 17 with Cincinnati, taking David DeCastro, the guard from Stanford. You know, obviously, I don't think we have a deep draft for interior linemen, but he's the best of the best, it seems like. And I don't know if you're San Diego, you may be hoping that he slips down, but Cincinnati may jump here. There may be some rumors about them grabbing a wide receiver, but tell us about your thoughts about them taking David DeCastro at this position.
I tell you what, a lot of scouts believe DeCastro might be the best sound offensive lineman in this draft. You know, typically you don't take guards in the top 10 in the draft, but he has definitely the tools and the talent, but he's definitely the best guard in this draft. And like I said, a lot of scouts believe he might even be the best overall lineman in this draft. I mean, he's very sound. Once again, we're talking about another guy who's definitely, clearly will start day one.
Gotcha. San Diego, they may be a little bummed about DeCastro going, and then obviously you got them. This is kind of a new guy. I don't remember him from last time. Chandler Jones, outside linebacker from Syracuse. Tell me a little about this guy, because I don't think he was even on the radar a couple weeks ago.
Well, I tell you what, back in January, this guy was a third-round pick. But he's been done tremendous job at his pro days. He's been outstanding at the Senior Bowl. He was outstanding at the Combine. And he's got long arms, great athleticism. He'll be a great pass rusher to the NFL. If he gets drafted by a team that plays a 4-3, he'll be a defensive end. If he gets drafted by a team that plays a 3-4, he'll be an outside linebacker. I mean, San Diego could take him here at 18. Chicago Bears would love to put him outside of Julius Peppers at 19. And this is a guy that's, like I said, a few months ago was a third-round pick, and he's just shot up the draft boards and definitely will be a first-round pick in this draft. There's no doubt
like
about
it. Like it. Very good. You've got Chicago taking Stephen Gilmore, cornerback from South Carolina. This is an interesting pick, too. Obviously, Chicago is trying to become like their other brother in the division, adding some more offensive pieces, and then they're starting to get back to what they know best as far as getting some defensive guys in there. So, tell me a little bit about this pick. I think it's a great pick for them, a safe pick, as you mentioned also in your notes.
Yes, I think the Bears would love to get Chandler Jones from Syracuse if he's still available. But if not, they could possibly take a Whitney Mercellus, defensive end from Illinois. But they also need a little help at corner. They're starting to get a little up in age there in corners. Charles Tillman. So they're looking to get a little younger at the position. And Stephen Gilmore is definitely a solid, safe pick. Maybe not spectacular, but he's going to be a solid pro for about 10 years.
Gotcha. I like it. This is interesting. So now we've got Tennessee at number 20 taking Whitney Mercellus, defensive end from Illinois. And, you know, obviously I think Tennessee, they've lost a lot of pieces here, so I think this is kind of a depth thing. And you think he's going to start immediately whenever he gets drafted, if this is the pick for them?
Not totally sure if he'll be a player that can start immediately, but he'll definitely grow into being a starting player. And Tennessee had one of the weakest pass rushers in the NFL last season, so they definitely need help at that position. They lost Vanden Bosch a year or two ago to Detroit, so they still maybe trying to replace him. Tennessee can also use a little help at corner. You know, they lost Cortland Finnegan to the Rams. And so I even have them taking a corner in the second round. So they definitely can use some help at those positions. And as we all know, defensive end and cornerback are probably the two most important positions on your defense, and Tennessee needs help in both areas.
You know, it's pretty surprising, too, and I know I'm going to go back a pick because you've got Cincinnati at 21 taking Drake Kirkpatrick. You know, obviously, earlier I don't think anyone would have predicted that he would have been picked behind Stephen Gilmore. Obviously, I think there's some interesting situations as far as you did some interesting character concerns. I think that Cincinnati may be targeting a wide receiver here, but I like where you're going. Why do you think they're going to go with Drake Kirkpatrick versus maybe an offensive piece to add to an already explosive offense with A.J. Green?
Yeah, the reason why I think Gilmore is going to go because I think a lot of people feel like he's a little bit of a safer pick. Kirkpatrick definitely has long arms. He's got the size, and he has the ability. And Cincinnati over the years have been shown, they've proven that they are willing to take a risk on certain players. And so Drake Kirkpatrick, and some of them they've really hit on over the years. I mean, the Bengals had one of the better drafts in the league last season. You know, getting Andy Dalton and A.J. Green, first rookie quarterback wide receiver combo to make it to the Pro Bowl. So that was pretty amazing. And I think, you know, they have an opportunity to do really good here with David DeCastro and Drake Kirkpatrick. They lost a cornerback. I can't recall the guy's name, went to the Houston Texans. John Jefferson, I believe.
Joseph,
there you go. And he had a huge impact for the Houston Texans. So the Bengals need some help in replacing him as well. So that's kind of where I think they're going to go, Drake Kirkpatrick. But I definitely think they will address the wide receiver position in this draft. Not sure what round. They lost Jerome Simpson just a couple of days ago to the Vikings. And they lost Andre Caldwell as well. So outside of A.J. Green, they probably will need another weapon at the wide receiver position.
22, you've got Cordy Glenn, offensive guard, going to Georgia. This would have been the Falcons pick if we would have not traded for Julio Jones. You know, like I said, these two picks, I'm thinking that they could easily be wide receivers too, whether Stephen Hill could go. You have them taking, obviously they take Richardson at the first pick, and now they line him with the offensive guard. Same thing, I can kind of go, why do you think they're going to go offensive guard versus offensive piece, if you will, and, you know, maybe trading back in to get a quarterback. So tell us about your thoughts about this pick.
Yes, they could either, like I said, take Brandon Wheaton here, or they can trade into the latter part of the – keep this pick and draft a lineman. You already drafted Trent Richardson, so you want to have some good linemen in front of him to block and open up some holes. And then if you want to draft Brandon Wheaton, you want to have a QB. You want to have your QB protected as well. And so it's going to be interesting to see what they do if they reach for Brandon Wheaton here. If not, I think the safe pick will be to go with the offensive lineman and pick up a wide receiver later.
I'm so excited, Rob. Like I said, we got about 5 minutes here, and hopefully we'll have some time to fit on the last couple picks here. And real quick, I want to highlight some two things before we get to every single one here. You've got Denver at 25. I'm jumping ahead, taking Michael Brockers, defensive tackle from LSU. And I really thought that Denver would be targeting a wide receiver for Pate. Tell me about that. Also, Houston, you got them taking Kendall Wright, which could be a target. I think they need another wide receiver opposite Andre Johnson. You've got New England taking Shane McClellan. You got some big picks here. And I guess talk about this real quick as we kind of wrap up this show and kind of talk about some interesting picks as we get near the end here. We got about 4 minutes to sort of kind of wrap up your picks.
Okay, in regard to what injury?
I thought that Denver – maybe targeting an offensive piece for Peyton Manning as opposed to getting a Michael Brockers. I think it's a great pick, but tell us about that. And obviously you got Houston taking Kendall Wright, which could be a target for them as well. So kind of talk about those two picks and how you have that going.
Well, I think Denver's hoping that Bebe Thomas kind of have a breakout year with Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning, you have to realize, I think he's had the ability to make wide receivers better than what they actually are as well. So I think Denver has a pressing need at defensive tackle here. They lost Broderick Buckley to the Saints, and they lost some other defensive linemen as well. And John Fox is a defensive-minded coach here. Michael Brockers is a guy that has a potential to be a top-10 pick in his draft. He came to the combine a little bit overweight, and that's the reason why he's going to be available here. But you're talking about a guy that's 6'6", about 310 pounds, long arms. He closes the pocket, great pass rusher and stuffs to run. You're talking about a massive guy that can definitely, if you get him in shape and ready to play, will be ready to play from day one.
Anything else you want to highlight, Rob? Because like I said, I always give you a hard time, but seriously, I am thoroughly impressed with you putting together mock drafts. Anything you want to highlight as we kind of wrap up the show? And I know we're supposed to talk about NBA, but we just got caught up in this, and maybe we'll talk about that in a couple weeks. Or obviously, we'll talk about it next week as a wrap-up. But anyone you want to highlight? I know for Dad, San Francisco, you've got them taking Stephen Hill, which is a great pickup. I think it's a great time for him to kind of develop under Randy Moss. Anything you want to talk about as we kind of wrap up this edition of the 12th Man Sports?
Yeah, I think there's some concern with San Francisco. They want to get a little younger wide receiver. I know they're probably only going to have Moss for one season. And so San Francisco is actually in a position where they can draft best player available. They have a lot of strong position groups on their team. And so I think Stephen Hill could be a good playmaker for them, whether Alex Smith stays the quarterback in the next couple of years or if they get a quarterback for the future. You can pair him with Michael Crabtree and have a guy like Mario Manningham to be your third receiver. You know you're probably only going to have Moss for 1 year. And so even if Stephen Hill doesn't contribute that much, you know, he came from an offense that didn't throw the ball much, so he's probably going to have to – it's probably going to be an adjustment for him to learn NFL passing terminology since he didn't quite get that in college. But this is a guy that's going to get drafted solely on his talent and athletic ability.
Yeah, and like you said, you got some interesting picks with Nick Perry going for Green Bay. You've got Doug Martin going to Baltimore. Jarrell Worthy going to New England, and Giants taking Andre Brandt, defensive end, for Clemson, kind of finalizing your picks for the draft.
Yes, I'll just comment about Nick Perry real quick. The Green Bay Packers, toward the end of the season, outside of Clay Matthews, had no one that could rush the passer. Nick Perry, you know, he's a guy that could possibly fall into the second round, too. So it's just going to, if Green Bay doesn't take him here, you know, he could easily fall into the second round, but he could possibly start across from Clay Matthews day one. They really need another pass rusher. And I know we're just about out of time, aren't we?
We are out of time, so we'll see you guys same time, same channel next week. Looking forward to it. In the NFL draft, we'll get a recap. Talk to you guys soon. See you next week.
Next week.